truck. We're going downtown, gonna beat up the rock. You're to the drive, I'll bring the beer. It's a late, late shift, no one to fear.
Are you having a good Sunday?
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure, I'm always having a good Sunday. Every day. Because every day is like Sunday.
That's true. That's very true.
Do you think Morrissey has ever been to a TGI Fridays and was just angry?
Yeah. He wants it to be Sunday.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's Friday. And everyone's happy about it. Which,
yeah.
It's rubbing it in.
I used to have my birthday at TGI Fridays, like, every year until I was, like, 12.
TGI just because, Fridays.
Yeah, because I didn't really have friends, so it would just be, like, me with my parents and, like, my parents' friends and their kids.
Aw.
Yeah, it was lame.
Did you have fun at the time, though? Like, did you look forward to your birthdays?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so it was fine.
What's the best birthday present you ever got as a child?
As a child?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't really remember, like, I don't remember my birthday being a big deal, like, for gift giving. Like, I got, like, a gift or whatever, but it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
My best birthday present I got for Christmas was a TV, which I still have. It was like a little TV with like a built-in VHS player.
You had it in your room?
I have it. We have it in like the spare room in our house, but it still works. I still use it sometimes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this riveting conversation will lead us in to our topic of the week. Which, by the way, you're listening to a podcast. I should probably say that up front.
Yeah, this is a podcast.
This is a podcast. It's a podcast called Our Podcast Could Be Your Life.
And I hope that that's true. I hope that that happens.
It could. We're going to have devoted, worshipping followers here.
Yeah.
Did you just crack open a can?
Yes, I did.
Of beer?
No, of Coke.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay. What is our mission on Our Podcast Could Be Your Life, Caroline?
Our mission is to have entertaining conversations about alternative, punk, different, like, noise rock kind of bands, different types of bands that kind of came through in the 80s, or 90s, or today.
You know. But the music that came from punk, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
Is our purview.
Mm-hmm. And we are talking about a total punk band today.
Very punk, very punk.
Punk as it gets.
Sure. And what band is that?
Dead Kennedys!
Dead Kennedys, DK.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, the Donkey Kongs.
The Donkey Kongs.
That's the band we're talking about.
His coconut gun can fire in spurts.
That sounds gross.
It's a line from a very famous song.
Yeah, by the Dead Kennedys.
Okay, but the Dead Kennedys, they were a band.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's safe to say. They played music.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also fair.
Yeah, very interesting, cool kind of music.
Sure, sure. Maybe we should start... What was your first encounter with the Dead Kennedys?
I heard MTV Get Off the Air when I was, like, in seventh grade.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, like, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And but I didn't actually, like, because I went through a period in middle school where I wanted to be, like, super punk, but I was really half-assed about it. And so I didn't actually start listening to the, like, Dead Kennedys, like, albums until I was, like, 15.
Right, right.
And then I got Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables, and I was just like, holy shit, this band is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables, that's one of those albums that, like, when it comes into your life, you don't remember what it was like before.
No, and it, like, it was really influential to me, like, also... it got me to question, like, political stuff, which is interesting now, because even though I agree with, like, the Dead Kennedys' political message on most stuff, it's kind of like, they're kind of dumb about it a lot.
Yeah, sure.
But at the time, that was very influential to me, and still is, kind of, by extension.
You know, it's funny, the first time I ever heard the Dead Kennedys was from the very first Tony Hawk's Pro Skater game.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't have that game. That was on PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
I didn't have a PlayStation.
PlayStation 64 and Dreamcast. But, but at the time, you know, this was like 98. I was 10, 11 mm-hmm. maybe.
What song was it?
It was Police Truck.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yes, it's maybe my favorite Dead Kennedys song to this day, but mm-hmm. at the time, like, there was a lot of stuff on that soundtrack. Unsane was on there too, I remember. and then some, like, much less cool stuff, like Goldfinger and
what the hell is that? The song?
The ska,
like,
band?
The
no, they're a ska band.
Oh, I thought it was like Goldfinger.
It's not really skating music, is it?
Yeah, sure it is.
Well, I guess we all skate to the beat of our own drum, but
yeah, that's the tattoo I'm gonna get. Skating to the beat of my own drum. I'm gonna get like a chest piece with like the gothic lettering.
Skate to the beat of your own drum.
Yeah.
I think Maya Angelou said that.
Probably. She said a lot. She said a lot of things.
She was a wise lady.
Yeah. No, she was. She was cool.
But anyway, but at the time I heard it, like, I didn't really know what to make of it. It was actually, like, my least favorite song on the Tony Hawk soundtrack.
What was, like, your favorite?
It was Jerry Was a Race Car Driver was on there, and I, like...
Oh, the Primus song.
Yeah, I loved that song. Like,
it's
it
a good
was,
song.
Yeah, it was. Still is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at the time I was like, what is with this dude's voice? Like, he's just goofy sounding as shit. And
Les Claypool or Jello Biafra?
Jello Biafra. Although I suppose that would apply to Les Claypool as well.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get it. And I sort of learned somehow, I don't really know, like, you know, the Dead Kennedys, that name meant nothing to me at the time.
Yeah.
And like, I eventually learned that they were this, you know, legendary band. I think I first heard Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables when I was maybe 14 or so, and I remember at the time I thought it was, like, scary. Like,
I can kind of see that. It's,
yeah,
it's
yeah. Well, they had song, you know, they had song fresh. Titles like "I Kill Children" and "Kill the Poor,"
children.
Right?
I want them down.
At the time, I was like, "Whoa," you know, because I didn't completely get, like, that they were coming from this satirical point of view, and I thought
they really wanted to kill children.
I don't necessarily think they really wanted to kill children, but I thought it was coming from this sort of, like, nihilistic "fuck you" kind of place.
Well, that song, Jello wrote that song when he was like 15.
Oh, really?
And so he's kind of embarrassed by that song.
Yeah.
But it's great, so I don't know why you'd be embarrassed.
Yeah, sure.
I was not writing songs that good when I was 15. My songs were awful.
No, me neither.
It was all like,
I must admit,
Jefferson Airplane rip-off songs and shit.
Well, that's cool, though.
No, it's not.
It's not cool.
No.
Do you still have these songs?
No.
Ah, that's too bad.
No, it's not.
You could play them for the podcast.
Oh, my God.
That would be so great.
No, we'll do another. We'll do a sub podcast. It's like kid songs, the songs we wrote when we were kids.
Songs we wrote when we were kids.
Yeah.
Oh man, I should get Paige to come on and read her bad high school poetry like that.
I do have some of that still.
Oh man,
me and Paige should have like a poetry slam. Oh, that would be baller.
That would be
anyway.
Awesome. Right.
So,
but Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables. Okay, so this is their first album. Came out when 1980. Is that right?
79.
79, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It was 1980.
Oh, okay,
sure.
It was 80.
Fucked up.
Even 1980, though, it feels very ahead of its time. Like,
oh, yeah.
As far as like its sort of sense of humor and also it's. You know, I think maybe the Dead Kennedys were actually a bit closer to post-punk than people generally acknowledge. You don't think so?
I think more on like Frankenchrist.
Yeah, even plastic surgery disasters. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
I just think they were a very inventive punk band.
Yeah. And what was I going to say? Say something else to cover up.
So when I hear like Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables and plastic surgery disasters, it sounds very like influenced by like thrash.
Huh. Like who are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm not exactly Joe Thrashhead here.
I don't think thrash wasn't really a thing until later in the decade, was it?
No, you're right. I probably have it the other way around.
I mean, Dead Kennedys might have influenced thrash, because
yeah, like Slayer and what have you.
Sure.
When I used to take better care of myself, I used to work out to Rain and Blood.
I couldn't go that fast.
I didn't. I just.
But I do think those bands, you know, Slayer and early Metallica and all that, I do think they were influenced by punk rock, like as much as you know, I don't know who they were, Maiden and
I would say I would say like. Like crust punk is very influenced by Dead Kennedys.
Oh sure. Was Crass around at this point, or was that?
Oh
after
yeah, Crass were around before this. I think Feeding of the 5000 might have came out in like 78.
Right. But Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables, I think. I know this isn't exactly a controversial opinion, but I think it's their best record. I think it's. It sounds so classic, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Like, Kill the Poor, that, to me, is the quintessential Dead Kennedy song.
Efficiency in progress is ours once more. Now that we have a neutron bomb, it's nice and quick and clean and good. Things done. This is an enemy, but no less valued a property. The sense in war, the perfect sense at home.
You know what I found as a quintessential Dead Kennedy song?
Huh.
Chemical Warfare.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it has like everything that they're good at, because it has like the aggression and the really fast punk stuff, and then it has that like that weird waltz bit.
That middle section, yeah. They did that a lot. Like break into like a different musical section or whatever.
Yeah, and so I feel like that has like everything that you can expect kind of from right. Dead Kennedys. Unless you're like really into Frankenchrist and then you want to hear stuff like At My Job, which we'll get to that.
And maybe more than anything, I think their lyrics were at their best on this record. And
yeah, I would agree with that.
They kind of, I wouldn't say they ever like totally tanked, but I think Jello's approach to lyrics, got a little iffier as the band went on. Here, you know, the bite is there, you know, it's not just like. Like a lot of like leftist punk is like sloganeering and platitudes and shit.
Like Crass.
I haven't listened to enough Crass to say so, but
I mean, I love them. Don't get me wrong, I love Crass very much, right. But that is what they are about.
Sure, and the Dead Kennedys had a real like that kind of thing isn't all that interesting to me. That sort of like hard on sleeve, like we could do it, you know, kind of leftist stuff.
Like early Chumbawamba.
Sure. I also haven't listened to that, but I'll take your
I don't like very much.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to check them out, but
You might like I don't think they're a bad band, I just don't like them that much.
Right. But you know, like their songs had real bite at this point. Like Kill the Poor.
Fish and sand.
Yes. Just the way that song starts, it's exciting, like, immediately, you know? It's really something special. And Jello, a lot of the time, he did this a lot. He sort of wrote from the perspective of his enemies, you know? Mm-hmm. And wrote this in this exaggerated fashion from the point of view of his enemies.
Yeah.
And then that's what he does on Kill the Poor and on... what else? I need more examples. If I just came up with this
California Uber Alles.
Sure, yeah, yeah. And, you know, on later albums like Terminal Preppy and stuff like that. He did that a lot, like a first-person point of view song, wherein mm-hmm. he basically talks about how much of an asshole he is from, like, that point of view. And there's real bite to it. Almost too
much
sometimes.
How many times are you going to talk about the bite?
That's a lot of bite.
It's not a listen, it's not a can of ginger ale, buddy. It's a record.
Ginger ale doesn't bite.
Yeah, it does. Okay, whatever. We'll have a conversation about ginger ale later.
Okay. Our ginger ale could be your life. but I don't know. It's almost a little like something like Chemical Warfare is almost a little too. Maybe I'm getting soft, but I can't really get behind this like fantasy of letting loose nerve gas at a country club and shit. Like I'm sure Jello is very amused at this idea, but
yeah. I don't think like. I don't think that's what he I don't think that's literally like let's do that.
I don't think he genuinely would do that, but I think he's
maybe he would have at the time. He probably wouldn't now.
He's definitely taking some glee in this like fantasy though.
And, yeah, but I mean,
you know, and all the sound effects of the people coughing like dying from.
Is that not awesome?
I mean, it's pretty cool. I don't know, but it's just a little it's like aww. Those poor people. That's kind of how I feel.
Well, you know what? Have you ever been to a country club? It's horrible.
I haven't.
It's horrible.
Have you?
Yeah, like kind of by accident. Not like, not by accident, but like.
You didn't want to go.
I didn't want to go. I had to.
All right. I delivered packages to country clubs.
Yeah, didn't you want to fucking murder everybody there?
They were all right. Although the lady at the front desk yelled at me because I was supposed to, like, take her package into, like, the back where the packages are received one time. And that wasn't very nice.
No, that's not very nice at all.
I didn't appreciate that lady, I have to say.
Hey, did you know that Kira Rossler's brother played keyboards on Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables?
No. What song?
I don't know, but apparently he did. Paul Rossler.
All right.
Yep.
Well, I'll put that in the old bag of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Whatever song has keyboards on it.
we'll get to that. It might be worth talking about Jello's voice.
Yeah.
Which I think can be kind of a make or break proposition for a lot of people with this band.
I love it.
I love it, too. You know what? Like, Jello Biafra is a weird little man. Like, that is just how it is.
He seems average. I don't know. I'm really short, so everybody's taller than me.
I don't know. He always looked little to me. Maybe he's not, though.
Maybe everybody else in the band is just gawky. Like,
that's true.
Klaus Florey looks like the gawkiest motherfucker on this planet.
Sure. But, you know, I think it's cool that Jello Biafra, it's because of his teeth or something, right? Like, he's got, I don't know, there's something about, like, his teeth that makes him talk that way or something like that. Apparently, he had to fend off.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He had to, like, fend off a lot of rumors that he was gay, actually, because of his voice.
I thought he might have been bi. I read that once. Maybe I was just being hopeful.
Not as far as I know. It's possible, but
I hope so. I just want there to be fewer straight people.
Sure. But yeah, like I it's really cool that he didn't give a shit that he had this like weird lisping kind of effeminate almost voice. Like he was punk rock about it, man. He incorporated it. He used it to his advantage. It gave his songs this sort of nervous tension to him that added to their sound, I think.
Yeah, and like part of why I like the Dead Kennedys so much is that he's not like a Henry Rollins. He's not just like
a jock.
Yeah. That he's very much not like that at all.
Yeah.
And like that they create this very specific universe in their songs. Mm-hmm. Like this exaggerated, very cartoonish aesthetic, and his voice just really adds to that. And really makes it, really.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables, it's just like, there's no bad songs on it, really.
Nope.
You know, I guess some of the numbers maybe sound a little more generic, hardcore than others, but they're not bad, though.
Yeah, because even generic hardcore, like, it's still fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you like hardcore, then it's just like, oh, well, this is fun.
Right, right. But just, and there's so many classics on there. I mean, Holiday in Cambodia, Let's Lynch the Landlord.
I sing that all the time.
Oh, dude, me too. That might be my favorite song on this record.
You know a song I really love? Huh. I don't. Funland at the Beach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's one, well. Crash little cans
all on the boardwalk. I love that song.
Yeah, dude, that song does rule. I mean, the whole album rules. It's over in like half an hour. It's funny. It's mean. It's just a classic.
It's so good.
It sounds. It doesn't. I don't think it's aged at all either. Like, it sounds great.
Yeah. Like. Well, I mean.
I mean, it
the
sounds
lyrics
like
to California Uber Alice are
well,
a little...
yeah.
But...
That's fair.
The song itself and that punch that it has.
Mm-hmm.
The bite. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That never ages.
Sure. What's your favorite song on this record?
Oh, that's very good. Probably Chemical Warfare.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's hard to argue with that.
I just love it. And then, like... Because I had my friend in high school where we were both really into the Dead Kennedys, and we were in journalism class together, and we just like go back and forth like Chemical Warfare. So I have like good memories related to that.
No, that's cute.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Okay. Well, any final thoughts on Fresh Fruit before we move on here?
I think it's cool that their cover of Viva Las Vegas is at the very end of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And that they have the lyrics about Coke.
Right. Dude, that's actually a really good cover. Like,
It's great.
I love what Ray does with the little...
Oh, my God. It's so good.
It sounds great. Okay. So we'll move on.
Yep.
Up next, after that... who was their original drummer? I don't even remember.
Ted,
that's right. Ted was, I don't know what happened to him. I probably should have done my research, but he was not in the band
anymore. I'm
going
to look it up right
okay.
now.
You look it up.
He played from 78 to 1981, and then he left because he wanted to pursue a career in architecture, which is a really stupid idea because nobody has a career in architecture. But apparently
well,
they might have
in the 80s.
Yeah, he is now married and living in San Francisco working as an architect. Well, that's nice.
And he played drums on fucking one of the greatest punk albums of all time.
So there you go.
So he's had a pretty sweet life.
He's got it. And then they got D.H. Peligro.
D.H., yes. So at this point, this was the lineup that they had for the rest of their career.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jello on vocals, East Bay Ray on guitar, one of the great punk guitarists, IMO,
mm-hmm.
Klaus Fluoride on bass.
Notable old guy and one of my favorite players.
And D.H. Peligro on drums.
Yep.
And this lineup recorded their Stopgap EP In God We Trust, Inc., which had a cover that featured an image of Christ being crucified against dollar bills.
See, that's very biting satire, wouldn't you say?
Had a lot of bite.
It's, like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, to me, that seems so silly now.
Right, right.
But, I mean...
Yeah, I think, like, at the time, when you're, like, a teenager and you're first realizing, like, wait a second, I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Like, this kind of shit can be, like, gratifying.
Yeah, and, like, I grew up Catholic.
Right, right.
And that's its own fucking thing.
Yeah. And, but, you know, once you've, like, grown up. Like,
yeah, once you're over it and once you're, like, kind of, like, okay with people doing what they want.
Right, exactly.
As far as, like, believing in God and shit, you're just like, this is kind of silly.
Right, sure. And you know, this EP was pretty basic hardcore for most of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of the idiosyncrasy, I think, that you can see on Fresh Fruit.
Yeah, although it does have one of their most famous songs.
Nazi Punks Fuck Off.
Yep.
Yeah, and that song... That song rules.
Why can't you relate yourself? Why can't you say it for yourself? Get hardcore when you bite your hair when Jackson lives inside your head. Not spunks, not spunks, not spunks. Fuck off! Not spunks, not spunks, not spunks. Fuck off! If you're not fight, get out of here! You ain't no better than the bouncers! We ain't trying to be police, so you ain't the cops, it ain't anarchy! Not spunks, not spunks, not spunks. Fuck off! Not spunks, not spunks, not spunks. Fuck off!
Yeah, it does. And it has the reworking of California Uber Alice, which I don't really like.
Yeah. I mean, I like it okay, but
it's fine, it's
a novelty, you know.
Yeah,
it's not
and
really
I like this EP. Have you seen the DVD, the Lost Tapes?
No, I haven't.
I like that. It's fun. It's just like them recording it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. They look like they're having a good time.
Yeah. But yeah, like it's not like it's a good hardcore EP, but it's not anything you need to have.
As I said, if you like hardcore, then
I mean you could do a lot worse.
Exactly.
Already though, Jello's lyrics are kind of taking a more literal and less satirical bent. I mean, like Religious Vomit, like the lyrics are literally just like, all religions make me sick. All religions suck. They just,
yeah, but that wasn't.
They
written,
just want
that
your money.
Written, like, that was written by 6025, their original rhythm guitarist.
Oh, okay.
Who later, interestingly enough, later became like a fundamentalist Christian.
Ha! Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seemed like he, I think he left due to, mental illness that he was unable to really keep up.
Do you know, the story behind him becoming a fundamentalist?
Not really. He just, yeah, it was just in an interview, Klaus Floyd states that 6025 went on to become a born-again Christian.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, he says he has some kind of disability. So, I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah.
Whatever he's doing.
And on, like, Moral Majority, there's all these lyrics, like, telling people to shove it up their ass.
Shove it up their ass. Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, right on, I guess.
I mean, that's just kind of when I was, like, 15, hell yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just so, like, dumb. I don't know. Telling people to shove it up their ass. Like, that's not a meaningful political statement. That's just, like, sticking your tongue out and blowing a raspberry.
Yeah, I know.
Which can be cool in its own way, I guess.
Yeah, that's baller. Come on.
But I don't have a ton to say about this EP. Like, I think it's good, basically.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. And, you know, they tacked it on to the end of Plastic Surgery Disasters. Which was probably a good move.
Plastic Surgery Disasters took me a while to like, and now I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a little artier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little maybe more difficult, I guess.
Yeah, but it has what I think is one of their best songs. Like, not my favorite, but Moon Over Marin.
Oh, yeah. That song is great.
Unlock my section of the sand. It's fenced off to the water's edge. I clamp a gas mask on my head. On my beach at night.
Really good guitar work on that song, yeah. I think. East Bay Ray, man, he had him some licks.
That guy's on the trolley.
He's on the trolley. He's on several trolleys at once.
That is cool.
Yeah, I know.
One thing I think is weird, okay, on the song Trust Your Mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, trust your mechanic to rip you off. Like, you just got ripped off by a mechanic and wrote a song about it. I think that's funny.
Is that what that song is about?
Is it not?
I mean, have you looked at the lyrics?
Trust your mechanic to...
I thought the song was about, like, plastic surgery and psychiatry and that.
Was it? Oh my god, okay, I need to look it up now.
You may be taking it a bit
lyrically.
I feel
like I didn't do my research
properly. The mechanic is a metaphor.
Is it? I literally thought it was about a mechanic for the past, like, almost 10 years.
Well, I just, like, glanced at the lyrics, and that's, like, the impression I got. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure it's not about a mechanic.
Oh, my God. I'm so stupid.
Well, did you, like, not listen to any of the other lyrics?
Or just
the trust your mechanic part?
Yeah, I just hear, like, again and again and again and again, gonna rip you off. And trust your mechanic to mend your car, bring it to... Yeah, so, okay. Okay, now I understand.
Sure.
Okay, now I get it. I'm so stupid.
It's okay, we've all been there. Okay. There's a lot about this album to like. I wouldn't blame anyone for thinking it's better than Fresh Fruit. I kind of do. You do?
I do, yeah.
You know, it might be more like artistically accomplished than Fresh Fruit is, but it just doesn't have quite the same like classic feel.
Okay, now that I know that Trust Your Mechanic isn't literally about a car mechanic, I think it's way better.
That's good. There's a lot of, you know, I really like that sort of opening noise bit with the girl monologue over it. Why are you such a stupid asshole?
Yeah, like, it kind of reminds me.
That's a great opening line.
Kind of reminds me of opening of Locust Abortion Technician.
Oh, yeah, sure.
More immediately combative.
Right.
Actually, no, what it really reminds me of is the crass song. I forget what it's called.
Love that song.
Yeah. So what? Okay, people that know Crass will know what
they'll
song.
They'll know. They'll know what you're talking about.
The spoken
about.
Word with Eve Libertine. It's something about Jesus. I don't know.
You know, we should have gotten Andrew on this episode. Because
he'd be a ringer on this one.
He probably has so much fucking Dead Kennedys knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
But
we'll get him on it. We'll get him on
it. It's too late.
We'll get him on our Crass.
When we do Crass.
It's too late. He's dead now.
I missed that guy.
A silo explosion.
He was at a country club and they let loose a bunch of nerve gas.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, I really like the song Halloween, but I think that the lyrics are kind of stupid.
You'll have to refresh me here.
Okay, where it's, okay. Remember what I did, remember what I was back on Halloween, but what's in between? Where are your ideas? You sit around and dream for next Halloween. Why not every day? Are you so afraid? What will people say? Like, it's...
All right. It's leftist shit.
Yeah, it's not even that because I'm a regular lefty, and you know what? I think Halloween is fun as fuck. Halloween is fun. Let people have fun on Halloween.
Lefties aren't allowed to have fun, okay? It distracts them from the revolutionary cause.
Oh my god. I know people that legitimately...
I know. I know these people too.
I know,
that's
awful.
That's what I'm saying.
These poor people, they're so mad all the time. And Dead Kennedys really aren't like that. Like, they are fun in their leftist sloganeering.
Sure.
Which is how it should be. But I do think that, like, I really like the song Halloween because it's a good song, but it's also, like, kind of stupid. Like, well, why can't you just be, like, Halloween every day, man? You're just, like, laying out the script that society has laid out for you. It's like,
tells you to do.
And, like, listen. I know all about scripts that society laid out for me because I went against them all. But it's hard. Mm-hmm. Let people have fucking Halloween to have a good time. I've been wanting to say this all week.
you've been saving that one up.
Yeah. You know what song is really great?
Huh.
Forest Fire.
Oh yeah.
Forest Fire is great.
Is there like a wider satirical message to that song that I don't get, or is it literally just about like tripping balls and setting a forest fire?
Well, it's kind of like,
because I've
don't
never
do drugs, you fucking idiot. I don't know.
I don't know. He sounds like happy that he's setting the forest fire though.
Yeah, because he's on coke.
Right.
Although I've heard stories that Jell-O like did coke back then. Everybody did.
It was the 80s.
It's the 80s. Do a lot of coke and vote for Ronald Reagan. That's what happened.
Well, Jell-O definitely did not vote for Ronald Reagan.
No, which, thank God.
Right. Well, not that he needed...
Not that he helped, but...
I mean, didn't Reagan... He won in, like, a landslide against Mondale in the... Or was it Mondale? I don't remember. The 84 election. He, like...
I wasn't born yet, so I don't care.
Sure.
I'm joking. I do care. I just don't remember.
I think it was Mondale. But regardless of who it was, he, like, crushed them, I'm pretty sure. So...
Yeah. Jell-O Biafra was probably out there voting for some... Yahoo... And took the vote away.
Well, isn't he like a spokesman, an advocate for the Green Party?
He is. He actually was almost their candidate one year.
Wow.
Which was like the first year I was eligible to vote, and I was going to vote
for... You were going to vote for Jell-O?
Or no, I wasn't eligible to vote, because I didn't actually become eligible until I was 21 because of like just where my birthday fell and everything.
Right.
But when I was like 18, I was like, I'm going to write in a vote. For Jell-O Biafra. And then I hit 21 and I was like, no, that's really stupid. Don't do that.
he also ran for like mayor of San Francisco.
Yes, he did.
I think, too.
Yes, he did. And afterwards they instituted a law that you had to go by your real name.
Oh yeah.
Because it was him and I think either his running mate or another person that was also running. I don't know if she was just a drag queen or maybe a trans woman, but they said a drag queen that had a performance name that she was running under. But
she was running in the same election?
She might have even been his running mate. I don't remember.
That would have been cool.
That would have been, yeah, that would have been super cool. Okay. Yeah, but they had... But I did like his very silly platform of forcing businessmen to wear clown suits.
Was that his actual platform?
It was one of them.
That's, well, right.
Amongst
other
things.
I'm sure that wasn't his entire platform.
No, it was. Like, amongst other things that were more normal.
Right, right. Anyway, plastic surgery disasters. I don't know if you knew this, but apparently the reason that the album sounds so like tinny and trebly,
which was why I didn't like it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is because he felt it matched, like that was an intentional decision on the part of GLO.
Well, that was stupid. stupid?
What was stupid?
That was stupid to make it sound like that, because I didn't like it for a really long time because of it.
Well, he felt it, like, matched the tone of the album. Which,
well, it,
you know,
doesn't. It sounds bad.
Really? I mean, I get where he's coming from.
I don't know. I don't
it
like
never bothered
things,
me that much.
I don't like things to be very tinny and trebly. I like things to have a good low end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is punk rock, man.
No, well, have you heard some of those Black Flag records? They have a good low end.
Yeah, but after Damaged, they weren't really punk.
Oh,
rock.
Please. That's another episode, and I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to come down to where your ass.
I like all those later Black Flag albums, but I don't know if they were punk exactly.
They weren't. No. Well, they were in a way, but they were better.
They were better than them.
Yeah, they were better because they actually had a, like, they were actually, like, more interesting songwriters.
Yeah, late Black Flag takes a lot of shit.
Yeah, from people that are fucking dummies who don't know what's good.
All right. But yeah, Plastic Surgery Disasters.
What? Talk some more about what you think about this album.
I think it's really good. Like, I think it's almost maybe even as good as Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables.
What's your favorite song?
My favorite song is, I don't know, maybe Moon Over Marin.
Like, is that so good? Yeah. Oh my god, I love that song so much. I've always loved that song, like, even when I didn't like the record that much.
Yeah, and I like Terminal Preppy a lot. The lyrics are funny, you know. That's another. Yeah. You could argue that it's mean spirited or whatever, but
I don't give a shit about being mean spirited. But
but you know, I mean, it's funny. I love the little horn bits in the like after each line, like it's really like funny and just it.
I think that's clarinet.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, there's a saxophone, too. But okay. Klaus is credited as playing clarinet.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and
And I think Ray's guitar playing was really evolving and improving on this record also. Like what I was saying before, it's almost like he was embracing a more post-punky kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was reading his interview with Mark Prindle, actually, I was reading the other day.
Oh, Ray?
Yeah. And he said that, you know, everyone always talked about how his guitar work was influenced by surf rock. And, you know, I've always kind of taken that for granted because it sounds very surf rock to me.
Mm-hmm.
But he said it wasn't.
It was just kind of an accident.
Yeah, like he didn't want to sound like surf rock at all. Which, you know, I think, like, you know, a California band, and they sound like that. You would think surf rock would be an influence, but I guess not. I don't know.
Weren't the Ventures from, like, Wisconsin?
Were they?
No, I made that up completely.
you could have fooled me. I have no idea. But yeah, like, I think he was becoming a really interesting guitarist, and maybe this is the highlight of his career as far as Strictly Ray goes.
Strictly Ray.
That's
good.
That's our next podcast. We talk about East Bay Ray.
No, but that sounds like if he had a show in a nightclub.
Strictly Ray.
And he'd just play like Girl from Ipanema and like songs like that, like bachelor pad songs, and it would just be called Strictly Ray.
That could be his cooking show.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Strictly Ray. Okay, are we done with Plastic Surgery Disasters?
I mean, I'm never truly done with it,
all right.
But I feel that I've exhausted the topic.
It lives on in my soul, but
forever.
We've got to move on.
Got to move on to what was, for a very long time, my favorite Dead Kennedys album.
Really?
Yes.
Frankenchrist.
Oh, yeah.
Your favorite?
For a long time, yeah.
More than Fresh Fruit?
For a long time, yes.
Okay, like, how long, like, did you get all the Dead Kennedy shit in, like, one go, pretty much, or did...
Yeah, pretty much, like, in high school, like, 15, 16,
yeah.
And this one I heard, and I was just like, this is their most interesting record, it's got, like, I just really love it, it has This Could Be Anywhere, which I still think, like, I still love this album,
mm-hmm.
like, it's a 5-star for me, but, it's not my favorite, really, anymore.
You know, I like it a lot, too. I wouldn't put it in the same league as the first two.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like...
It's got Chicken Farm, dude!
The songs are too fucking long. Like, they just are. They don't have enough ideas to sustain these fucking 5-minute, 6-minute running times.
Yeah, I like long songs.
Well, I do too, but not from... They don't make it work for them, I don't think. And not entirely, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a good record, but it's 10 songs in 45 minutes, man. That's not what I want from the Dead Kennedys. You know?
Oh, I want...
You don't know?
I don't know. I still, and I was like, I went through a period, like, I didn't listen to this until this week, like, for about 3 or 4 years.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't heard it in years either.
And then, and, like, in between that time, I was just kind of like, yeah, Frankenchrist really isn't as good as I remember it being, and then I listened to it again, and I was like, never mind, yes it is.
But this is, like, this is their post-punk album, pretty
oh,
much.
Yeah.
Like, just as soon as Soup Is Good Food starts playing, you're like, okay, this is something different. This is something sort of angular and abstract and arty. And, you know, those are just three of the A words that you could apply to this. I can't think of any others, but it's very different.
Yeah. We're sorry that you no longer need or want it, or even cared about here. Machines can do a better job than you, and this is what you get for asking questions.
Again, and East Coast Ray, West Coast Ray. And his guitar work is becoming even more, like, abstract and just, like, creating these sort of clouds of noise over these tracks.
Do you know anything about noise? I'm just seeing this track, I'm sorry.
Okay, when I say noise, I'm not talking about fucking Merzbo.
Do an episode on that?
Maybe.
We'll do an episode where I just try to convince you to like Merzbo.
I mean, I like Merzbo.
That guy's alright.
I just, you know, part of my thing about noise music in general is just that, like, it just goes on and on. It's not that it's too fucking, like, noisy for me. I mean, I can handle it, but it's just, it has no structure. It just goes on for, like, 18 minutes, like...
Yeah, I listen to jam bands, so I'm cool with it.
Right. Like, it's the same. I don't really like improvised music in general. And, like...
You noise... say it just goes on and on. You sound exactly like... what my mom says under her breath when I start talking about a subject in her presence.
Well,
because I get too into it and I'm not paying attention to whether other people are interested or not. And then my mom just goes, you go on and on. And I'm just like, sorry.
But, well, maybe you should nip it in the bud a little more.
Well, sometimes I can't help it.
That's why we have this podcast, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right. What was I saying?
We were talking about noise music, but we were also talking about Soup Is Good Food.
Okay, right. Now, when I say noise, I don't mean fucking Merzbo. I don't mean Masana.
You don't mean guilty connector.
I don't mean fucking incapacitance.
I love them. Love them. They're so good.
I just mean like it's a melodic sounding. Like it's atmospheric. It's, you know, it's almost like ambient more than.
I wouldn't really say that.
Well, ambient in the sense that it's not playing a melody. Again, maybe I'm not using all these words correctly, but
yeah, because I don't totally get that. I just see it as being very angular.
Well, not on
and kind of beefing up the sound.
You don't think he's like sort of kicking up these like clouds of guitar sound and shit?
Yeah, like, I guess because that's
what I mean.
Okay. Because I think like near the end of Soup is Good Food, I feel like the bass is sort of carrying the melody. Mm-hmm. And then he's just like beefing it up,
right?
Guitar, which I really like. That. That's why I love Flipper so much.
Sure.
So yeah. Now I get what you mean.
Okay. But like, part of the maybe it's the lyrical approach that I dislike more about this record. Like it's less funny. It's more just like bitter.
Yeah, that's what happens to leftists. That's why leftists have never got a toehold in this country.
You know, I have a theory about why leftism never got a toehold in this country.
Is it because of Joe McCarthy? Because that kind of is why.
Well, it didn't help. I think it's all the fucking infighting, man.
That is true. Like, oh my god.
They can't even fucking come to a consensus. They're too busy like trying to figure out who is the true leftist amongst all of them.
Yeah, and that's why I can't like I am not smart enough. Like I'm not smart enough to keep up with all the theories and all the language and all the jargon. And then who hates who and why?
Right.
And oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, what was that? But yeah, like the lyrics are more like bitter. The only really song on here that's like funny is, MTV Get Off the Air.
First song I ever heard.
Yeah.
The first song of all time that I ever heard. I heard it when I was bored.
And that song is funny.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, you know, the line about...
I always talk like I'm wigged out on Quaaludes. Right. I just wanted to do Quaaludes.
Yeah, well...
They seem fun. Like, you know that Earth song, Tibetan Quaaludes?
Mm-hmm.
That seems fun.
Have you seen Wolf of Wall Street?
No, not yet.
There's a probably already famous scene involving Quaaludes in that.
Yeah,
movie,
yeah, but... like, I know about that.
Oh, okay.
Not an idiot. I'm sorry. I love you.
Well, if you're not an idiot, maybe you should start acting like it.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
I don't think you're an idiot.
Thank you.
I think you're pretty smart.
I'm not. You're wrong.
I mean, I'm not saying you're a genius or anything. I'm just saying, you know.
I just, like, I get frustrated. This has always happened to me where I feel like I try to overreach in terms of, like, things. Like, I try to read stuff when I don't really have the knowledge base to understand it, and right. Then I feel stupid. And it's like, well, no, if I build up to that, then I won't be stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like when I first started playing bass and I would play, like, I would try to play, like, complicated songs instead of just playing scales, and then I was just like, oh, I'm really shitty, and then it's like, no, you just have to build up to that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the point of this, though, is that you are an intelligent young person.
That is the point of this entire podcast,
right.
Assuring me that I am smart.
Right. You're smart. I'm smart.
You're very smart. I think you're great.
You think I'm great?
I think you're a stone cold chiller and that you do just fine.
You think I'm smart, though?
Yeah, of course I do.
I don't know. I don't know that I'm smart either. I don't know. I've had a lot of evidence that would seem to indicate that I'm not smart.
Well, I think you are very cool.
Oh, thanks. It's not the same as being smart, but...
I think, well, to me it is.
Okay, but Frankenchrist...
It's got Chicken Farm. I love Chicken Farm.
Sure, Chicken Farm.
At my job is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of like that, you know, they're going for this sort of robotic sound to mimic the legions of brainwashed employed who go to work and slave away for their 8 hours.
Well, isn't that what it feels like to go to work? Like, I don't think they're wrong.
It's not as bad as that.
Well, it depends on what your job is.
It's not fun, I'll give you that. But
I like some repetitive things I like to do. So
yeah, sure. I mean, I deserve to be paid more for what I do.
Oh yeah,
I genuinely believe that. But I don't know. I'm not like bitter that I have to have a job. Like
I am. I think that I should not have to have a job. I do, because I think work is terrible, and that's why no one likes it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is terrible, and no one likes it. That's fair.
But, okay, let's talk about Stars and Stripes of Corruption.
Okay.
When I was, like, 16, it used to make me cry.
Yeah?
Because I believed in it.
Aw. Do you still believe in it?
Yeah, but it's also, like, kind of silly.
Right. Well, I mean, any of this, like, sort of highfalutin, grandiose, like, statements about society and culture and shit, like, it's, like, you know, like, no matter how true it is, there's sort of that element of, like, well, who the fuck are you, you know? Like, why are you, like, the guy proclaiming all this?
I don't really get that. I just think it's like I just think I don't know. I just if it just feels so sincere.
You can't handle it.
Sometimes. And that's and look, that's on me.
You're too jaded and ironic.
And that's completely on me, and I don't like that about myself. Like I don't like that I have this immediate like that nowadays I have like kind of this immediate block against something that does feel very, very sincere and very, very honest. Whereas like,
yeah, it's funny
like,
that you
I
say
think
that.
I love it. I think I love it more than you. I love it enough to fight. Like I hear that now and I kind of laugh at it, but it's like, why am I laughing?
It's kind of funny that you say that, because I think you're a way more sincere and more open-hearted person than I am.
That's cool.
Maybe we're only speaking in relative terms here, but
it's just because
you've always struck me that way.
It's just because I'm gay. I've got my heart on my sleeve about everything.
Really?
From being gay. Yep. That's what happens when you join the club.
Really? Is that all it takes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll be damned.
I'll send you some paperwork.
You have to register.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like registering to vote.
Added to the ranks.
Mm-hmm. We gotta beef up our numbers.
Do you get a card?
I would. Maybe you're supposed to. I forgot to get one.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of bureaucratic nonsense that goes on with all that.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, like, I am a very sincere person, but are things where I feel like I have to just step a little bit over to the ironic side to avoid being like hurt or something.
Sure. Iron is a shield.
Yeah, which that's what that movie The Comedy is about.
Right.
They shouldn't do that.
Right.
And then they all just like
you can't
play baseball in slow motion to disintegration loops or whatever the fuck they're always doing in that stupid movie.
You can't turn your life into a joke.
Well, I'm gonna try.
Okay, well, do you have anything more to say about Frankenchrist?
It's really good. Also, have you ever heard the band Hell Nation?
No.
Because there's like a power violence band called Hell Nation,
right,
named after the song. If you like power violence, you will probably like them because they're an example of it. So there you go.
Awesome. We should probably talk about how this album got them in some legal hot water.
Oh boy. Yep. Old H.R. Giger had a painting called Penis Landscape, which had a bunch of penises going into a bunch of vaginas. And it looks like an H.R. Giger painting, basically. And they put it... They wanted to put it on the cover, but instead they put it as a poster in the, like, in the record sleeve. And Jello got in trouble and was, brought to trial for, basically, for indecency. Kids were gonna see it and stuff, and so it almost bankrupted the record label, and but he rallied up support from fans, and then
and kids ruin everything.
I don't think kids ruin everything. I think overprotective parents.
Well, if they didn't have kids, they wouldn't be overprotective parents.
Yeah, but if they didn't have kids...
Like, I kill children!
And I watch them die! Yeah, but if parents didn't have kids, then we would not be here. No, would we?
Yeah, that would be fucking awesome.
That's true.
Kids ruin everything.
That's true. Kids are alright.
Nah, I like kids.
They're okay. I was gonna say my nieces and nephews, but like my oldest nephew is like 20, so...
Right.
Yeah, they're pretty old by now.
They're all grown up.
Not totally, but yeah. Like, my youngest niece is, like, 14, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Formative years, those are.
Yep.
I mean, I heard the Dead Kennedys when I was 14.
I know, and that's what's funny. It's like, when I go to see them, I still think of them as being, like, kids. And then I'm just like, okay, well, my one nephew is, like, 16. And so when I was 16, I was, like, doing all this stuff.
Right.
And I still think of him as being, like... Five. It's not good.
All right, but let's talk about Bedtime for Democracy. Probably the most controversial of their records. A lot of people don't like it.
It has some good songs on it. I like Do the Slag.
Mm-hmm.
I think the lyrics to Chicken Shit Conformist are very silly, but I really like the song.
See, this is sort of what I'm talking about. Like, a lot of these, there's a lot of lyrics about, like, the punk scene.
Yeah.
And a lot of lyrics about, you know, sort of the theory behind political action and that kind of thing. You know what, like I feel like Jello at his best is like, Kill the Poor. Like, that's a great, like... lyric, but there's a lot of
or your holidays in Cambodia,
right, stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff on this album that, like, if you read the lyrics, like, have you ever seen one of those, like, communist bloggers on Tumblr that write, like, really bad communist poetry? That's
like... No, but I have seen a lot of communist bloggers that write enormous posts about theory, and I don't understand any of it.
No, but I'm talking about, there's these people that write these poems, like, I met up with some comrades. We hung out in the den and talked about change. She had fire in her eyes and was a revolutionary.
Those people gotta chill out.
No, it's awful. It's god awful. And some of these lyrics, like, remind me of that shit. Like, they're not good.
Chicken shit conformists like your parents. But the riff on that is really good. I really like that song.
Yeah. This is a lot more straight hardcore, much like In God We Trust almost. Like, there's a lot of these songs sound pretty interchangeable to me.
Yeah. The ones that, like, I singled out for liking are basically the ones that don't run together for
me. Yeah, yeah. Like, the ones that have a little something extra. A
little bounce in their step.
A little bounce in their step. A little glint in their eye.
Yeah.
dead, it just deserves to die when it becomes another stale cartoon. A closed-minded, self-centered social club. Ideas don't matter, it's who you know. If the music's gotten boring, it's because of the people who want everyone to sound the same, who drive the bright people out of our so-called scene, till all that's left is just a meaningless fad.
But like, at the end of, I basically like this record, though. You know, I don't see it, like, permanently leaving my rotation. But it is their longest record of the four, which is strange, considering that it didn't seem like it has a ton of ideas on it. I appreciate that the songs are short, but if they all sound like, if they all sound like each other,
there's so many of them.
Right, then it's not so much a... thing. Oh, one other thing I want to talk about. I really, my least favorite Jello thing is his fondness for dumb little puns and like portmanteau. You know, he's got that like Rambozo on this album, Triumph of the Swill. Like he's got a bunch of the, like a lot of his solo albums have those too. Like he's got an album called Sieg Howdy. An album called...
That's the one with the Melvins.
Yeah. Audacity of Hype. Like, he's always loved that, ever since the 80s. He's never given that up.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's stupid and dumb, and I don't like it. And that's what I have to say about that. And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Oh my god.
You know, I honestly, I don't have a ton to say about this record, because it just sounds like hardcore punk to me. Like,
yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yep. If you like hardcore punk, you'll think this album is okay.
I guess this album is kind of divisive amongst fans also. I think Frank and Christ was too.
Yeah,
but this one even more so, just because
this one I think a lot of people don't even listen to, so
it's just I don't know, like with Frank and Christ they were really stretching, and then like on this record it feels like they weren't stretching at all. There is like tried and true kind of shit on this record. But it's, you know, it's good if you're into that kind of thing.
Yep. If you're into kind of interchangeable songs.
Do you have anything you want to add?
It's all right.
All right, then. So that was the end of the Dead Kennedys.
What about Gimme Convenience or Gimme Death? Are we going to talk about that one?
Yeah, I was gonna lead into that.
Oh, sorry.
I was saying they broke up, though, after Bedtime for Democracy.
Yes, they did.
And the last thing that they put out under their name was the compilation Give Me Convenience or Give Me Death, which is B-sides and rarities. First of all, this record has Police Truck on it, which means you need to own it.
Yep.
Because that song is amazing.
Also has Too Drunk to Fuck.
Too Drunk to Fuck.
I really like.
Another key Dead Kennedys song, I think.
Yeah, I think you need to hear that song. And it's all night. I've been 16 days in the solid of a mind. When I'm chilling, you're out of luck. I'm rolling down the stairs, too drunk to fuck. I'm too drunk to fuck. You're too drunk to fuck.
And that was the first record D.H. Pellegrino played on also.
I didn't know that.
Yep. I read all three. Mark Prendel has interviews with all three of them, aside from Jello, and they're all really good reads.
I've read them before, but I haven't read them in years. So.
Yeah, the D.H. Pellegrino one is interesting because he talks about, like, you know, being a black punk in the 80s and shit, which is cool. But yeah, that was his first appearance, Too Drunk to Fuck. And it's got the single versions of California Uber Alleys and Holiday in Cambodia on here too, which neither of which I don't like either of them better than the album versions personally.
Yeah, same.
But you know, they're there and
they're good.
They're still good songs, even though they're inferior versions. So that's nice to have. This also has their performance of "Pull My Strings," which is a song that they performed exactly one time because they got asked to play the Bay Area Music Awards.
Yeah.
I think this was 81 or somewhere around
that
time.
Yeah, it was.
This was after Fresh Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asked to play California Uber Alleys, which had become this sort of underground hit in the area. And, you know, there's... I think we've pretty much, in 2015, we kind of roll our eyes at, like, indie and punk, like, ethics. Like, we kind of roll our eyes at the notion of selling out and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, I really like what they did for this performance. Like, that's classic punk, I think. They you know, they got tapped to play this performance, and they stopped playing California Uber Alleys 30 seconds in, and instead they busted into this song called Pull My Strings, which is about, you know, not wanting to be part of the mainstream and the commercialism of rock music and
yeah,
and all that kind of thing. And yeah, it's funny. It's a funny song. Also, they do that interpolation of My Sharona.
Yes.
Which they do. They say My Payola.
My Sharona, which I will always associate with the dubiously classic film Reality Bites.
Dubious. That's one way of putting it.
I have seen that movie way too many times.
How many times do you think you've seen Reality
Bites? Probably like seven.
Why?
I don't know.
It's not a good movie.
I have kind of a thing for Janeane Garofalo.
Sure, but that's not enough, though. I mean,
it is for me.
Look, I love the 90s, okay? I do. I love the 90s. They give me warm fuzzies. I love everything about them. But, you know...
Everything?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
What are you thinking of?
The internet was worse.
But it was charmingly bad, though.
Not at the time.
Well, at the time, you didn't even know it was bad. You thought it was fucking awesome. Because it was a new technology.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't remember, like, how exciting the internet was in the 90s?
Not really.
How old were you when you got the internet?
Probably like 8.
And you didn't find it exciting?
No, I did. I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
God damn it. You're not working with me here.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
Yeah, I am. Okay, so you love the 90s?
I love the 90s, but, like, Reality Bites...
No, it's not a good movie.
No.
I am not saying that it is a good movie, because I know that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, like, for a while, I would just watch it a lot. I don't know, something about it just, like, I just... watched a bunch of times.
Well, does it sort of does it get that same like slacker spot for you?
No, because it's a lot worse. But
well right, but
I don't know. Well, it's about somebody who can't get a job, so I relate to that.
Sure.
But yeah. She had a job and then she fucked it up, and then her friend was like, hey, you can work at the Gap with me, and she was like, fuck no, I'm not gonna do that because I'm too proud, and I get furious.
Yeah, it's kind of how I feel about Office Space.
Like, yeah, I would kill to have that Office Space job. That job looks awesome.
Yeah, like he said, he literally just goes and like changes all the code. Like
that
each
job seems
that's
so
all he
awesome.
Does for 8 hours. I mean, I'm sure it's boring, but
yeah,
like
but
you know,
I don't mind doing boring stuff. I just don't want people yelling at me.
Well, you would love my job then.
I probably would love your job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can just, you know, sit there and listen to podcasts while I work for most of the day.
I would love that job.
See, jobs aren't so bad.
I don't know. I just haven't had a job that, like, didn't involve people yelling at me.
Well, yeah.
So.
Retail is bad.
It's horrible. Like, and
I am never working retail again. I've tried to live by that. And it's meant that I have been poor at certain points because I refused to take retail jobs. But it's better than being poor is better than working retail.
I mean, working retail kind of still means you're poor, but at least you do have money coming in.
Right. But then you're poor and you work retail.
That's true, and that is worse.
That's a double whammy right there.
Because, like, you don't sleep.
Right.
Thick jelly. You know what? Henry Rollins used to work at a Häagen-Dazs. What kind of jobs do you think Jell-O had?
I don't know. It probably pissed him off, whatever they were.
Yeah. He seems like everything pisses him off. He's got to chill out. He's got to relax.
He's not a happy guy.
Maybe he is. I don't know anything about him.
Well, no, he's still pretty, like, bitter to this day.
No, I know, like, he is.
You know,
just had an album come out, like, last year called White People and the Damage Done. Just like, I get what you're saying, but...
Right. Well, you know,
Have you looked at yourself lately?
Yeah, I admire that Jell-O gives a shit.
No,
I do.
I really do. And, I kind of make, like, I make fun of him a little bit, but I do kind of admire him still.
Again, it's that sort of grandiosity, like, among people that, you know, it's the same reason, you know, I hate to use this example, but, like, Bono. It's the same reason everyone hates
Jell-O
Bono.
Jell-O the Afro to Bono.
Well, I'm just saying,
seem very different.
Everyone hates Bono because he's such a grandiose prick about his, like, politics.
But isn't Bono also, like, a tax cheat and shit?
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, legitimately shitty, whereas I don't think Jell-O is really in the same league, because I think Jell-O puts his goddamn money where his mouth is.
Well, you know the whole rift between him and his bandmates.
Yeah,
It very much sounds like he was withholding royalties from them, and they, you know, he made this whole accusation of that Levi's wanted to use Holiday in Cambodia for a commercial, and like the band.
Aren't Levi's made in Cambodia?
I don't know, dude. But
wow.
But do you know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah, like I know what you're talking about, but I haven't really researched it, so.
Well, like, he says that, like, this is, like, been a big point of contention between them, and the band is like, dude, that never happened. Fucking Levi's did not try to use Holiday in Cambodia for a commercial. Jell-O is straight out lying
also,
out of his,
like,
ass. And he insists that this is true to this day, but. Who knows, man?
All right, yeah, that does sound kind of shitty.
Well, like, why? Why would Levi's use Holiday in Cambodia for a conversion?
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
No, do you know why that's so silly? Because Levi's are, like, made in Cambodia or something, and I feel like they wouldn't want to, have any ammunition to draw attention to that.
Yeah.
To draw attention to their sweatshop labor and shit.
Does Levi's use sweatshop labor?
They all do.
I mean, that seems like the kind of thing that would probably be true, but I don't
know. I mean, they all
know.
Do. Even the shit where it says made in USA, it's fucking made by prisoners.
Yeah.
So it's the same shit.
Right.
This isn't Gabbing About Politics podcast.
Well, I mean, I think you have to talk politics a little bit to talk about the dead Kennedys, since
you do, and
a fervently political act.
Yeah, and it does kind of seem like, in terms of the rift with the bandmates, like, Jell-O is more concerned with, like, oh, they're selling out,
right?
With, like, whatever legitimate concern, like, whatever legitimate beef that they have with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just the thing that kind of makes me mad about people a lot is when people get angry but don't examine their own behavior.
Right.
Like, bro, you gotta look at yourself.
Right. That's why I give people a lot of leeway because I'm such a piece of shit. You know? I mean, I really find it hard to condemn other people for things because it's like, I don't know. Like,
it depends on what it is for me, but well, yeah, right. I get what you're coming from, and right. I do kind of feel the same way.
Right.
Because I'm like, okay, well, I'm pretty terrible, so I don't want to like condemn somebody too hard because they could shoot right back
right.
and hit me right in the heart.
Right. But anyway. We kind of got off Give Me Convenience or Give Me Death. But, yeah. I think we kind of pointed out the most notable songs on that record.
Yeah, and it's good. But, and right, if it's, like Dead Kennedys, it's more fucking Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, it's kind of in that Bedtime for Democracy category for me. Like, I don't really need it. But.
Yeah, like, I don't listen to that anywhere near as much as, like, Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables or Plastic Surgery Disasters or Frank and Christ, because it is kind of like, well, I don't totally need it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, motherfucker, you just gotta hear Police Truck.
Police Truck, man.
That was on a Guitar Hero game.
Police Truck?
I'm pretty sure it was, like, a cover of it. But yeah, I am like pretty goddamn sure it was on like the second one because that was a game I played a ton because my best friend had it.
I played it a lot too, but I don't
like I didn't have my best friend had it, and I would just go to his house all the time and like play it.
I feel like I would remember that though because I love that song. But anyway, we can look it up later.
Okay.
So that's the Dead Kennedys.
I hope you like them.
I do too. They deserve your.
I was talking to the audience.
I know. I was agreeing. Oh. Like I hope the audience likes them too.
Oh, okay. I'm so, really sorry.
Why don't you stop jumping down my goddamn throat for 3 seconds? take a look at yourself, Caroline.
In like a year, we're gonna have a total Dead Kennedys style beef.
Because. I wanted to sell our podcast to a Levi's commercial.
There was a Levi's... It was a Levi's commercial or Gap commercial that had Rest Aria by The Residents.
Mm-hmm.
That I, like... They did not have permission to use that song, and so The Residents, like, got it taken out of circulation.
Why would you just do that? Why would you just put somebody's song in your commercial without asking?
They probably thought they won't care. Right. They're just the residents.
No one gives a shit about the residents. Yeah. That's a dumb thing to do, though.
That is a very dumb thing to do. But mm-hmm. that is what happened. Very rude.
Do you have any final thoughts?
The Dead Kennedys are a really good band. They were very influential to me and still are. And if you haven't heard them, I don't know what you're doing. You should definitely listen to them. If you have heard them, I hope you enjoy this episode and that we were funny and cool.
Do you think they're the best punk band?
That is a really hard question because I really like a lot of punk. I don't know because I really love Crass.
Mm-hmm.
Crass are kind of my favorite
punk band.
Yeah, but like I think the Dead Kennedys are probably more interesting. Although I don't know if you've heard Penis Envy, that's like very interesting musically. I don't know. They're up there. They're like the second best.
Okay.
And Crass is the best.
Awesome. Well, on that note, I think it is about time to close the books.
Yep.
On this episode of our podcast, Could Be Your Life. It could be.
I hope so.
It could very well be.
It's my life.
It's true. This is my life. This is how I choose to live it.
Yep.
I choose to spend my Sunday talking about bands for an hour and a half.
Yep, and it is always fun.
That's how I live, motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, good night, everyone.
Can we talk for a second about how much of a goddamn idiot I am?
Sure.
God, I'm a goddamn idiot.
Why?
Just, like, listen to me. Christ.
What? No, I don't think you're an idiot at all.
Listen to me talk about anything for more than, like, 10 seconds.
I do.
I know. Stress. How do you not, like, end this, like, oh, God.
Because it's like
I gotta get another host for this podcast
because we're friends, and so I think that like the reason I agreed to do this is because I think talking to you is interesting.
Oh, that's sweet.
And also, wow. I've always had dreams of being on a podcast.
Yeah,
and this is just my stepping stone
to a better podcast.
Yeah, that's what happens.
You're gonna move on up in the podcast world.
Yep.
Okay. All right, folks. Well, thank you for listening. This has been our podcast, Could Be Your Life. My name is Jeff.
I'm Caroline.
And go gentle into that good night.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about what a fucking idiot you are?
Yes.
I got you.
You did. You zinged me.
Oh, pardon my zinger.
You zinged me. You got a lot of zings. A lot of zip zaps and zings.
Yep. That's me.
Yup.